the opportunity to say a word this morning. John has asked me to look after this Sunday and next Sunday as well, because some of you will know that Nina and I are expecting to be leaving London in the not too distant future, so this is a sort of little swan song. So I decided to do a kind of a little mini series covering two Sundays, and I felt God was leading me to this great Psalm 103. And my plan is to look at the first few verses this morning and then come back next Sunday and we'll finish off Psalm 103. But before we come to Psalm 103, could you turn please to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation and chapter 21. The two passages I think do link together. And especially, you know, Glassina's reminded us this morning there are terrible things happening in our world. There is such sadness and such pain and sorrow in our world. But the book of Revelation, of course, holds out this hope that one day God is going to put things right and all will be well. So before we come to Psalm 103, it's Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. I saw, says John, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. No more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. And then Psalm 103. As I say this morning, I want to confine our thoughts really to verses 1 to 5, but it's such a great psalm, and I think it'd be a shame not to read it right through, and then we'll read it right through again next Sunday so we can really get it into our bloodstream, so to speak. Psalm 103, the title says, of David. The titles of the psalms aren't actually part of the original text, so we can't be sure of that, but no reason to think it isn't by David, and there are certain events in his life which we can link in with this psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, use his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We come in at the end, don't we, as individuals? After all this praising God throughout creation, he ends, praise the Lord, oh my soul, you and me and each one of us. I just think Psalm 103 is an absolute gem. It's one of those psalms that sort of glows with this wonderful sense of the love of God. I think there are bits of the Bible, you know, where you don't go through it to sort of analyse it and pick it apart and sort of discuss in your mind what every little bit means. There are certain Bible passages, I think, they're like a kind of warm bath. The thing to do is to sort of wallow in them, to sort of soak in them, to sort of absorb these tremendous glowing words. Just let them do you good and enjoy them. And as I say, I thought I'd just preach on the whole psalm today, and then when I sat down to prepare, I thought, no, there's too much here, so I'll divide it over these two Sundays. And as I say, it's just the first half dozen verses that I want us to think about. As I say, it's given as a psalm of David, so we'll take it as being the case. He's talking really about his own relationship here with God. But one thing that particularly interests me, and I rather like this, do you notice how he's talking to himself? Praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You find this sometimes in the Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? And I take from that there are times in our lives as Christians, it's not a bad thing to talk to yourself. Do you ever talk to yourself, perhaps? I was told when I was a child that talking to yourself is a sign of madness. Well, maybe in some cases, but sometimes it's a sign of sanity. There are times in our lives you need to give yourself a bit of a talking to. Isn't that right? Martin Lloyd-Jones was a great preacher now of a previous generation. He wrote in one of his books, one of our troubles in the Christian life is that we listen to ourselves too much and we talk to ourselves not enough. And what he meant was, when you listen to yourself, very often you're listening to negative thoughts. Oh, I haven't done very well, I can't do that, I can't cope with that, I don't feel very good today. You're listening to yourself and you're getting the voice of the devil, really. Sometimes don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Give yourself a bit of a finger wagging, yes? We all need that from time to time, don't we? A little bit of a lecture. Give yourself a little bit of a telling off and it'll probably do you good. So here's David, and he's talking to himself. He's telling himself what to do. What does he say? Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's what I've got to do. But then he goes on, and this is the bit I want us really to focus on. He says, and forget not all his benefits. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we used to sing a song that went, count your blessings, name them one by one. That's the same thing, isn't it? Don't forget God's benefits. Now, benefits, we think of social security, don't we? He's on benefit. A benefit is simply a good thing, isn't it? A benefit is a blessing. Something good, in this case, that God has given to you. And so we're thinking this morning really about God's good gifts. Call to mind, remember the benefits, the good things that God has given to you. And in these first few verses, I picked out four things. There's four little headings for the next few minutes. Four things, four benefits, which you as a Christian, I as a Christian, have received from God. The first one is this. He forgives all my sins. There it is in verse 3. Who forgives all your sins. straight away we come to the heart of the biblical message. Isn't this the greatest truth in the Bible? I am a sinner. You are a sinner. But God loves to forgive sins. Is this a message somebody needs this morning? You're probably a regular churchgoer. You've probably been coming to church many, many years. But maybe this morning you need to be reminded, God loves to forgive. If there's anybody here this morning who's come to church with a guilty conscience, you've done something, you've said something, you've thought something which you know is not good, and you're feeling bad about it. You may even be looking back over 10, 20, 30 years to something that won't go away from your mind. You feel bad about it. It's my privilege this morning to just remind you, God loves nothing more than to forgive. That's good news, isn't it? So don't go labouring under a burden of guilt and a burden of sin. Reach out to God for his forgiveness and he will grant it. Think the prodigal son. I have sinned against heaven and before you. His father just throws his arms around and come back, let's have a party. Think the tax collector in the temple comes to God, won't so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That man went home justified rather than the Pharisee who thought he was okay. Think of David. Many stories in the story of David, aren't there? We know how David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Went up on the roof of his temple, saw her bathing. Lusted after her. Being a king, he took her for himself. That's what kings did in those days. And he thought he got away with it. He organised the death of her husband. I'm all right. Nathan the prophet comes, and I won't go into all the story, but Nathan convicts him of his guilt, and David says, I have sinned. And Nathan says, your sins are forgiven. Because he truly repented. If we truly repent, then there is forgiveness. Perhaps that's all somebody this morning needs to hear. You've got a bad conscience, God loves to forgive. Just receive the forgiveness he delights to give. That's benefit number one. He forgives all my sins. Benefit number two, there in the same verse, and he heals all my diseases, says David. God is a doctor, and God loves to heal. We know in the ministry of Jesus, wherever Jesus went, he healed the sick, he opened the eyes of the blind, he cleansed the skin of those with leprosy, he raised up those who were lame. Jesus healed the sick. God is a great healer. But of course, when we come to this particular benefit, there's a little in our minds, isn't there? There's a little, hang on a minute, is that actually true? God heals all our diseases, because we all hear, we know from experience, he doesn't always heal our diseases, does he? There's nobody in this room, I can say this with total conviction and certainty, there is nobody here in this place today who's perfectly healthy. We've all got our niggles and our aches and our pains, haven't we? Even if you say, oh, I've never had a day's sickness in my life, I'm as fit as a fiddle. No, you're not. You've got little problems. We all have little problems health-wise, don't we? And yet David can say, he heals all my diseases. It's interesting, going back to the Bathsheba story, you remember how the story unfolded. Bathsheba had a baby boy, and the boy was sick. And David, it says, fasted and prayed for a week for the life of his son. And after praying and fasting for the week, the baby died. And yet he can still write, God heals all our diseases. What David, of course, is saying, I suppose, is this. Yes, forgiveness of sins is an instantaneous thing. As soon as you ask God to forgive your sins, he forgives your sins. But of course, healing may well be delayed. Doesn't always happen at once. Rarely does it happen. I've been a minister over 40 years now, and I can think of all the sick people I've prayed for. And yes, there have been times when somebody was healed. Just like that. Wonderful. Sometimes you lay on hands, you even anoint with oil and so on, and somebody gets healed. But it's very much the exception rather than the rule. Sometimes they go to the doctor and they get better. But sometimes, as we all know, they don't get better. And I'm glad that that truth is reflected in the Bible too. Paul speaks, doesn't he, in the New Testament about his thorn in the flesh. Don't know what it was, but obviously some kind of physical problem Paul had. 3 times I asked the Lord to take it away. And the Lord said, sorry, you're going to have to live with it. My grace is sufficient for you. I love that little verse. I think it's in 1 Timothy where Paul writes about one of his friends, a man called Trophimus. We don't know anything about Trophimus beyond what that verse tells us. But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Trophimus I left ill at Miletus. And you feel like getting hold of Paul and saying, hang on, Paul, you've got the gift of healing. Why did you leave Trophimus ill at Miletus? I don't know. I'm sure Paul would have prayed for Trophimus, but he left him ill at Miletus. So even the Bible itself, while it emphasizes the healing ministry of Jesus and declares that there is healing in the love of God, it doesn't necessarily hold out the promise that you're always going to be healed immediately. It just isn't true, is it? It just isn't true. Timothy, as we know, had a dicky tummy. You remember? Timothy had tummy problems. What does Paul say? Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Not go and get healing. Take a little wine. Perhaps the water isn't doing you good, Timothy. There are times we need natural remedies or medical care. I'm preaching to the converted, aren't I? You don't really need to be told this. But there is this thing, you get this movement in certain parts of the Christian church that there is always healing. If you pray for healing and you don't get it, there's something wrong with you. Your faith isn't strong enough. And it's wrong. It's wrong. God doesn't always heal instantaneously. So resist that book that holds out promises which don't necessarily come true. Those preachers who hold out promises that don't necessarily come true. God does heal all our diseases. But it may not be until we see Jesus face to face. And that's why I read that little passage from Revelation 21. A day is coming, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears. God will heal. So this morning, if you're feeling a bit creaky, I'll be back, you know, whatever it is you've got. If you're feeling a bit not so well, take comfort, take courage. One day you're going to be perfect, and one day I'm going to be perfect. Not a trace, not a hint of sickness, not a trace of disease. That's benefit number 2. A day is coming when he will heal all our diseases. Benefit number 3 leads on from that in verse 4. He gives me victory over death, says David. He gives me victory over death. He redeems my life from the pit. He redeems my life from the pit. The pit is an Old Testament way of speaking about death. You will understand, I'm sure, from reading your Bible that in the Old Testament, the people of Israel didn't have a fully developed understanding of life after death. They didn't have the kind of understanding of heaven and hell which we get from the New Testament. They had this rather hazy, vague understanding of what happens to us after death. And so they would use this expression, the pit, the grave, really, as an overall expression for the reality of death. And yet David can say, he redeems your life from the pit, which is a way of saying he gives us victory over death itself. And again, what a benefit this is. This is a promise which comes true, of course, above all else, on the morning of Easter Sunday, when Jesus was redeemed from the pit. Jesus died, Jesus suffered, but God raised him from the dead. And what God has done for Jesus, he's going to do for you, and he's going to do for me. Paul says we are in Christ. We're part of Christ. We're incorporated into Christ. So what can be said of Christ can also be said of us. We have died with Christ. And we have been raised with Christ. And one day that resurrection will become full, complete and entire. We are going to be raised again. Our lives are going to be redeemed from the pit. The word that sums this up, of course, is hope. Hope. How we need hope. And I think we live in a world, particularly in our materialistic Western world, where there is such a dearth of hope. So many people just don't seem to have any hope. There's the old spiritual song. Do you remember? You may know this. The Old Man River, I think it is. I won't sing it to you, but I'll quote the lines. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. Isn't that the way it is for many people? I'm tired of living. It's hard work, but I'm scared of dying. Whereas we Christians can say, maybe we get a bit tired of living sometimes, but we're not scared of dying because our lives will be redeemed from the pit. Do you have that hope? We shrink from death. That's natural. That's the way we're made. Of course we shrink. We want to go on living. Of course we do. Nothing wrong with that. But we know that ultimately death is a defeated enemy. Go out into this week and be a man or woman of hope. We have got something to look forward to. That's benefit number three. And benefit number four is really the end of verse 4 and verse 5, bringing it all together. God blesses me every day. Look at that, at the end of verse 4. He crowns you with love and compassion. God loves you. He looks down and has pity on you. He cares about you. He satisfies your desires with good things. Doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. You want a nice new car? Well, God will give you a nice new car or whatever. What it means surely is a poetic way of saying God will meet your needs day by day. God will supply your needs day by day. And I love the last bit. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. As I look around this morning, I see a few grey heads. I've got a bit of a grey head myself. I don't always feel my youth is being renewed like the eagles, do you? But again, it's a poetic way of saying, isn't it? Day by day by day by day, God will give me the strength I need. And that's all I want, the manna principle. God gave the manna to the people in the wilderness. There was only enough for the day. And then you had to collect more the next day and collect more the next day. We live day by day, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. But you get out of bed in the morning and say, Lord, give me strength for this day. Renew my strength like the eagles for this day. And then tomorrow I'll say the same prayer again. And the next day I'll say the same prayer again. God gives us strength and provision for every day. This is why this psalm is so wonderful, isn't it? You know, there is no other religion that I'm aware of that holds out this kind of hope. You know, other religions, God is at best far distant, as in sort of Buddhism or whatever, or quite frightening, as in Islam and Hinduism. But the God of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a God of compassion who says, you are my child, I love you, I care for you, and I will bless you this day. The answers to your prayers won't necessarily come immediately. You may have to be kept waiting. But remember, if you are kept waiting, it's always for a good reason. God is building you up. God is strengthening you. God is testing you. I am there with you, and I am there for you. So the message this morning, very simply, I think, is, Christian, don't forget God's benefits. Number one, he forgives all my sins. Number two, he heals all my diseases. Number three, he gives me victory over death. And number four, he gives me strength for each new day. So the message is, Christian, go out and claim the victory. Paul says not, we are conquerors through Christ who loved us. That would be enough for me, actually, if Paul had said that. We are conquerors through Christ who loves us. Paul doesn't say that, does he? Paul says we are more than conquerors. We're super conquerors. We're hyper conquerors through Christ who loves us. Go out into a new week and live a life of victory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these glowing and beautiful words which were written so many hundreds of years ago. Some of them, Lord, we confess, as we have thought in the last few minutes, are difficult to understand and apply to ourselves. But we take the basic message. You are a good God. You are a loving God. You are a God who cares for your children as we humble ourselves before you. Breathe, Lord, your grace and your spirit into our souls this day and send us out into a new week to live for your glory and to know your nearness. For so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.